Welcome in from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Kevin Woodley joins us once again. Kevin, lots to discuss, so let's get right to it. The Arizona Coyotes are obviously a very good team defensively. You've got Darcy Kemper, who seemingly has taken over the starting job from Antti Raanta, maybe because Raanta can never stay healthy, and maybe that's part of it. But some are saying maybe they're the best duo in the NHL. I don't know if I can put them ahead of Boston just yet.
No, I mean, I guess, fair enough, Boston's kind of got two starters, right? You know, had that job for years. He knows what it's like to be a number one. He's adjusted quite well to the backup role, and that's always a challenge. Man, but I would, you know, not sure I'd have Arizona very far behind him. And the part of that that surprised me, frankly, is Darcy Kemper. Didn't see this coming, to be honest. Just didn't. Antti Raanta was a guy who a couple of years ago, kind of the last time he had a close to a full season and played 45 games, was in the Vezina conversation, and was a guy that I think a lot of, we're talking to goalie coaches around the league and people, you know, that they stay on top of the position, was a guy that, you know, people saw as a breakout candidate to be like a number one star. He had success playing behind Lundqvist with the Rangers, and he looked to be carrying that over early with Arizona. And here we are, the shoes on the other foot. What's fascinating to me, and I've talked about this before, but the Coyotes had some analytics that they used to identify things in Kemper's game that he did well that, as you said, good defensively, but specifically the types of attacks they surrendered, the types of chances they surrendered, seemed to fit with his strengths. And I always like it when I hear that because it tells me that teams are not just looking at raw save percentage and there's a little bit of eye test and analytics to match it from a style of goalie matching system of team perspective. I just wish they'd share more so I knew what those specifics were, but because I didn't see it, and clearly whatever they saw is panning out for them in Arizona.
Well, yeah, it's been very good. Edmonton's goaltending's right up there. Vancouver's had solid. Boston, of course. So a lot of teams near the top of the standings, I guess, no surprise, are all getting good goaltending. One team, though, in the Pacific that isn't is the San Jose Sharks. What do you make
other
of their
end of the spectrum?
Yeah, what do you make of their goaltending? And were you surprised that you know, the Devils went out and tried to be preventative? They went out to get a goalie in Louis Domingue. Did you think maybe the Sharks would have went after him?
Yeah, I just... Well, I mean, for starters, I don't know that from a cap space perspective, that's the thing. This is a team that's walked away from a couple of players in the offseason just because of salary cap room. Obviously, they brought in Marlowe, but can barely fit him. I just don't know that they have a ton of flexibility there to do much with their goaltending. And you know, something's going to have to give, though, because Martin Jones is under contract for a while now beyond this. And I don't think it's all goaltending. We talked about it before, how much San Jose as a team, how loose they've been over the past couple of years. But well, then again, you watch them, and you know, clearly goaltending's a part of it. Like, it just feels like, and this reminds me of Steve Mason in Columbus. His game improved significantly, but it didn't matter because the track record of him struggling there had been long enough that anytime there was a hiccup, the whole team just let down. And he had a case where everyone was trying to do everyone else's jobs. He was cheating because he didn't trust his defensemen. His defensemen were trying to do too much because they didn't trust him. And that snowball, once it gets going, it's tough to stop. I don't think we're there yet in San Jose with Martin Jones, but you know, you got to wonder how far we are from that point. And if you get there, what's the answer? Because there are some things in his game that, you know, he seems so far to have been reluctant to change. And as much as environment is playing a role, it's not the only role. And until he makes those changes, you know, I'm not sure the results are going to change. There'll be ups and downs. He's still so good with his reads and so good at other elements of the game that he can overcome the inefficiencies technically. But it's almost impossible to sustain it when you give yourself no margin of error, and that's where he's at right now.
Is he past the point of no return for Martin Jones? Like, what do you see technically in his game that has to be fixed?
I see a complete lack of rotation in his movement. I'm not the only one. Everything is flat. For the longest time, it was to his blocker side, everything left to right. And that was something that teams pre-scouted, identified, and tried to target. If you had, you know, obviously on power plays, you can, how you move the puck, you can sort of create options that create plays to one side. And that's something that they were doing as Martin Jones. You could stretch him on the right side because he had no rotation in his movement. He would come flat across and not back to his post. So right now, there's no rotation in his game to either side. And it just, There's a lot of open and close in his movement, and these are just little delays. Again, when you have all these delays in your game, it gives you no margin for error. You have to be perfect. And we saw last year in the playoffs, super aggressive early, was struggling. He backed up and had success midway through the Vegas series. So he's capable of making changes. He makes that tactical adjustment, and he had success for a while. But again, to me, you're just masking the problem. You're not actually curing the disease. And until you get some rotation and some efficiency back in that movement, he's sort of always playing catch-up. And I mean it, on the ice, he is always sort of playing catch-up to the plays. And the game moves too quickly to be that far behind. And it just, no margin for error. And until that changes, you'll have hot streaks. But I don't see there being a solution there until that changes, or at least improves.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. So we got the Coyotes tonight. You know their goaltending's good. The Blues come here on Wednesday, and it looks like Jake Allen will get the start Wednesday night, it sounds like anyway, for the Blues. How's he looked, and how's he handling being a backup?
Well, I'm going to talk to you. You hear the background right now. Yeah, that's the Blues on the ice right now, so I hope to talk to him a little bit about this. And it is a tough job. It sounds like he's sunk himself into it from a work ethic perspective, talking informally with the goalie coach. The work he did even in the playoffs last year to help Binnington, to help the team, almost serving like a scout goaltender, mimicking what the other goaltenders were doing so the players could sort of understand some of the pre-scout tendencies as shooters against, say, Tuukka Rask in the final. So he's embraced the role as much as you can, but embracing it and learning to play well when you don't play often are two different things. And you look at his numbers, and he's got an .855 save percentage, in three appearances this year. Now, I watched him play. I watched some of the video. Like, Jake Allen's one of those guys where you watch him play, like, he looks fine. Like, it doesn't look like he should have an .855 save percentage. The problem has been one bad goal a game in those three starts, and that's kind of sewered his numbers. Interestingly enough, when he was the starter, when he would give up those goals in the past couple of years, it got to the point in St. Louis where you could see it on the bench, and talking to people on the team, like, there was a letdown, much like what we're talking about with San Jose. Are we there? Where once he makes a mistake and a bad goal goes in, the whole team deflates. It's not the case anymore here in St. Louis. Both those bad goals that he gave up out of those three starts, they rallied and bailed him out and won those games. So that's a big change for him. But he's going to have to kind of eliminate that one bad goal. And then it's real easy for me to say that. It's a little tougher when you're playing once every, 10 to 14 days, and that's where he's at right now. But overall, when you look at his game, Jason, it's not bad. It seems to be more that one mental mistake or one bad break he can't get away from right now. Because when I break down technically, he's a guy that I honestly, if some team trades for him, and I know the Blues have sort of had this thought as they try and manage their cap situation, and him making $4 million, is could this come back and haunt us? Could he come back and be really good somewhere else? And there are elements of his game that makes me believe that's still very possible for Jake Allen.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. What about the Devils? They just got Domingue. Their goaltending has let them down in a lot of games. They score six goals against Tampa Bay. They only give up, I think, 20 shots, and they still lose 7-6. What do you make of the goaltending in New Jersey?
I don't know what to make of it. I wish I had a great answer. I watched Corey Schneider late last year closely. I thought he rediscovered his game. He looked like he finally regained the confidence. I talked to him at length, both when he was through town and then even in the summer heading into the World Championships for the In Goal podcast. And he's very open and very candid with us about where he'd gotten to mentally. And he felt like he was beyond all those things. And again, I looked at his game and, there are some elements to his game that I've always wondered about as the game around him changes. Lateral speed has not ever sort of been the strength of his game. He played a very deep conservative position to overcome that. And I'm not sure you can stay on your goal line and have success in today's game. And yet he did in the second half. And it looked so good. I honestly thought he was going to bounce right back this year. And so obviously I'm wrong. I've got a little egg on my face on that one. It just feels kind of like the other ones too, like San Jose. And is there a confidence there that where the team, as soon as one bad one goes in or as soon as things, the dam starts to break, how many third period leads have they given up in New Jersey already this year where that belief or that lack of belief takes root. And as soon as one bad thing happens, everybody starts panicking rather than sticking with their game plan. And that can include the goaltender too. Mackenzie Blackwood's not much better statistically right now. He's got a couple of good starts of late, but there's a guy that, like, I know a lot of people in the league, Jason, that really like his game. They did not think last year's breakthrough for him was a fluke, and they thought he'd pick it up. And here he is with an 878. So, you know, they're both well below 900. Clearly that's not good enough. I have questions about the structure in front of them or the lack thereof. Schneider's first few years there, it was really loose, and they leaned on him heavily, and he was good. He hasn't seemed to be able to keep that up anymore. And I can't blame it all on defense. Like, clearly there's an issue between the pipes as well. And I just find it interesting when we talk about these situations, like, it's never one or the other, right? Like, in none of these cases are we talking about a team that's playing tight defensively. And it's interesting how when both guys struggle, usually it's not just the goaltending. I think part of that holds true in New Jersey, just as the opposite case in Edmonton, right? You introduced some structure, and now both goaltenders are playing a lot better this year than they did last year.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. One last one for you, Kevin. Robin Lehner, you know what? He went to the Islanders last year, had a great turnaround. A lot of people were surprised that he didn't stay there. Now he's in Chicago, and while the Blackhawks themselves maybe aren't playing great yet, Leonard is.
Yeah, 939 save percentage after the win at Anaheim the other night. You know, going into the season, I think we talked about this. I didn't think Robin Lehner would struggle in Chicago, but I didn't think his numbers would necessarily be the same, just for all the reasons we just talked about. Environment matters for goaltenders. His environment in New York was very much no odd man rushes, and the Blackhawks defensively are a team that had given up a ton in the past couple of years. At the same time, he has made significant improvements in his game, and he talked about that last night. He had a really strong quote about this very topic. He said, like, listen, I played for the Buffalo Sabres for 3 years, and they were one of the worst defensive teams in hockey, so I'm sort of used to playing behind a loose team. And he had some good years in Buffalo. Didn't post a 939 in any of them, but he had some good years behind a porous team. So mentally, it seems like he knew what to expect here in Chicago, seemed to understand that it wasn't going to be the same as it was with the Islanders, and yet he also talked about those changes he made. When he's in end zone play especially, not so much off the rush, but end zone play, his ability to move around and recover on his knees and stay balanced and stay sort of attached to plays and attached to pucks and not reach, not get sprawled out and not end up on his belly and not sort of make one spectacular save and have nothing left after that, like, it is so much better after the year he spent with Piero Greco and Mitch Korn on the Islanders. He's always been a goaltender dating back to his Ottawa days that had a ton of skill, a ton of size, a ton of talent. We all know about what's happened off the ice, but I think on the ice, he's finally started to put some structure underneath that and add some layers of structure, and so there's the consistency, but he hasn't lost that ability to make spectacular saves. He's put himself in a position to use that massive frame way more often than he used to, and so he's less reliant on the spectacular saves. And how many times over the years have I talked to you about it? I love guys that can make those saves, but if I see a guy making them too often, I have questions about the reason why. And Lehner's found a nice balance between being able to make them but not putting himself in a position where he has to all the time, even behind a team that might ask him to make tougher saves this year in Chicago than he was asked to make on a regular basis with the Islanders.
Kev, always great stuff, man. I'll be interested to see the goaltending front this week for the Oilers, but I'm guessing Koskinen tonight and Wednesday, and then you'll see Mike Smith. I think Dave Tippett, they're going about it very well in the goalie rotation. Both guys are playing excellent, and there's no reason to ride one or the other and have one of them fatigue. So just keep kind of going back and forth. We'll see what happens. Thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Yeah, perfect, Jason. Thanks a lot.